But also with us today is Gigi Alcock. Gigi, lovely to have you on the show. We've got a piece on BizNews today that you wrote talking about the difference between the Khasi economy and the informal economy, and in fact, how they being impacted by COVID-19.
Hi, Alec. Yeah, I think, the misconception is that the informal economy is just in the township, but a large proportion of it is in the kind of inner cities and taxi ranks and stuff like that. And so a lot of the guys who are taking real strain from this have been the informal sector within the kind of cities. Even going as far as the taxis, I spoke to a friend who owns taxis in Soweto this morning, and the taxis that do the local business, that is in essence within the township, are kind of struggling, but they're still operating. Of course, all the guys who are going into the inner cities or to the urban taxi ranks are practically, have lost all their business. So, so a lot of the township-based businesses are still doing not okay, but are still doing business. They kind of, because they're local, the spaza shops, for an example, are within walking distance. And so they're providing quite a vital part in terms of grocery products and stuff close to people's homes.
Surely one of the big concerns is that when people get angry, when they don't have money, those spaza shops and spazarets, as you call them, many of which are run by Somalis or foreigners, do become under threat. We've seen it before, where there's been looting, etc. Is this something that people are mindful of?
Yeah, so we've been monitoring that with a colleague of mine, Ibrahim, who's a Somali South African. And what we've seen is about 80% of the spazarets, the more supermarket type spazas, are open. But what they've done is they're dropping their stock levels quite dramatically because they're afraid that when people run out of money or dramas, they'll be the first target in terms of looting for food and stuff like that. A lot of them are then also opening at certain times. So they'll open for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon and then kind of closed when, in the middle of the day. So their operating hours are limited. So, I think on the one hand, the drama has been that the Minister of Small Business and others haven't actually clarified, who is allowed to operate. They've said things like only South African spas owners, etc., which is sad because these spas are actually supplying, good quality branded food products right within people's streets. So someone doesn't have to take a taxi and incur that cost, number one. Number two, they don't have to take a taxi and be exposed more. So I think that they actually need more support.
Mm. That is a rather strange thing for a minister to say in a country which is, it's already been a hotbed of xenophobia in the past. Is that confirmed or did you actually hear that?
Apparently it was fake news and it was withdrawn. So, the point is that's the word on the street. So the police, for instance, in Soshanguve, north of Pretoria, were closing spazarets and saying to them if they weren't South African, they couldn't operate. So those are anecdotal stories of what's happened. I don't know how widespread it is, but there have been incidents of it. So the rumor is out there, whether it's fake news or real, I wouldn't know. But I think either way, it would need some sort of clarity, official clarity, to be shared.
So one would hope then that people in Pretoria are watching this carefully, because I guess the other point, and you've spoken about this a lot, is there's a 20 billion rand industry with backyard rentals. Now, that's fine for the moment because people are being paid, but I guess if the lockdown continues and those people don't get the money that because they're not at work, that could turn nasty.
Yeah, so look, that goes across the entire spectrum. I think, there's huge amounts of money generated by that informal economy that's sustaining livelihoods, whether it's the backroom rental or hawkers and taxi ranks selling vegetables and so on. And the thing is that what are the ripple effects of not earning that money? Both the backroom rentals and the advantage of the backroom rentals is still there when the kind of money run, when the lockdown ends and money starts coming back in. But the biggest problem is more, I guess, people like the hawkers who are selling potatoes and tomatoes and stuff, who run out of money. They don't have then the cash to purchase new milk and so on. So I mean, I think that the repercussions are very much on that kind of sector in the sense that people don't have the cash flow. And then there's a massive ecosystem, whether it's the backroom rental or the local water outlet and so on, that's impacted in terms of the money that's rotating within that economy.
G.G. Alcock, the author of a number of books on the spot on the Cozynomics, as he calls it. David, it does make a difference. And we're going to be talking to G.G. hopefully throughout this every week just to get an understanding of how things are going. It is a bit of a tinderbox.
It is. And I think we all worry about that, particularly with the downgrade and more people in the formal sector being laid off. You know, what the consequences of that are going to be.